He gets the snap. He waits. He fires for the goal line. Touchdown, Pittsburgh. Pines won. The red zone kick. And this game is on its way to being a tie ball game. And we've got a brand new ball game with 1:21 to go third quarter. How about this turn of events? Ben with a big third and 20 from his 38. Ben has time. He lofts it long pass down the field, trying to get under it. And it's Antonio! Oh, he's got it! Inside the 10-yard line! Antonio Brown had a step on the defender and pulled that perfectly thrown pass in. Mendenhall is going to be hit and driving to the goal line.
He's in!
No, that's the Steelers' touchdown! Rashard Mendenhall! And the Steelers extend their lead to 7, but it's not over yet. Fourth and 18 at the Baltimore 44. Flacco with a shotgun with a minute 9 left. Here it is, the snap. He's back on fourth and 18. He's going to throw it down the field, and it is broken up. A terrific job on Hushmanzada by William Gay. And that'll do it. The Pittsburgh Steelers climb back from a 2-touchdown deficit, completely turn the tables on the Baltimore Ravens, and win number 13 of this season. A very lucky win indeed.
Man, to be down 20-7 to come back, our crowd was rocking, Steeler Nation rocking. We never gave up. And what better way to send the Baltimore Ravens home and eliminate them from the tournament, one game away from the Super Bowl.
Here we are, everybody. Another edition of Terrible Towel Talk, the podcast for you, the Steeler Nation. I'm your host, Adam. With me, as always, is Neil.
Hello.
He's your resident football forecaster, and he's also a blogger with BehindTheSteelCurtain.com. Big shout out, as always, to Mayor Paul. We hope that leg heals up. And Glenn and all the other Steeler fans of Minnesota, thanks very much for tuning in, guys. We're recording this Tuesday, January 18th. 3 days after the Steelers' amazing come-from-behind victory over the hated Baltimore Ravens at Heinz Field. What can I say? What a game. I have rarely felt so low or so high as I did during and after that one. That was almost as bad and hard to watch as parts of Super Bowl 43. But, of course, I'm pretty happy now. I'm sure the league was happy as well. It delivered everything in terms of drama that you really could expect from watching a football game, even if you weren't a fan of either team. I have to say that you need to forgive the hoarseness of my voice, but that's what happens during games like that one. I watched it from a bar in Kansas City where I was on the road, and I had to sing later that night, and it was just a complete mess from that perspective, but I was elated. I'm still in the clouds about it. I'm assuming that everyone listening here saw the game, so you all know how thrilling it was. It was really the stereotypical Steelers-Ravens game in so many ways. As usual, the Ravens talked a lot of smack in the week leading up to the game, and as usual, our Steelers came away the victors. We've beaten them 7 out of 7 with Ben Roethlisberger at the helm. They can't touch us. He is the Raven killer. It was a higher scoring affair than we're used to, I suppose, with a final 31-24 Steelers victory. With the 21-7 halftime Raven lead, really leaving the black and gold in a tough spot. Behooved us to score as much as we did just to have to win the game. Three Ravens turnovers at key positions on the field, all, I think, on their end of the field. All of a sudden, 21-7 became 21-all, and we're on our way to a win. I'm just going to leave you with this quote. I think that Hines Ward said it best in describing this one. They keep asking for us, and we keep putting them out of the tournament. They're going to be ticked off about this for a long time. And I can't say it any better than the Hines. So we'll leave it at that. Neil, some awesome performances in this game. Let's start with Ryan Clark. I thought that his performance overall was really, really good, and it was nice to see because I think he's been called out in the media over the last few years for disappearing during some games. Did he answer his critics on Saturday? Neil, take it away.
Well, let's just put it this way. You said that you didn't have a voice on Saturday night. A large part of that was due to Ryan Clark. I know that my voice didn't come back probably until yesterday afternoon. That was, in my opinion anyway, his best game as a pro. He couldn't have been more clutch for this team. In a game that Troy Polamalu was curiously silent, Ryan Clark had five total tackles. Two of those came for loss. One of them was a forced fumble that led to a touchdown to put the score at 21-14 in the Then there was his interception that led to the Hines Ward touchdown to tie the game at 21 and gave me temporary laryngitis. Another big issue that I think you're going to see with Ryan Clark is in his ability to make plays like that. It does take pressure off the rest of the defense. And as you saw in that second half of that game, Ryan Clark was the catalyst of all of it. So his ability to make those kinds of plays is instrumental for this team going forward.
Absolutely. Another, not just single player, but group of players whom I think are going to be instrumental moving forward is our nice crop of rookie wide receivers. Antonio Brown had one of the best catches in recent Steelers memory. Manny Sanders came up with some nice plays, nice blocks away from the ball. I think they really stepped up. Talk to us about Brown and Sanders and the rest of the young wide receiver core.
You had two rookies combined for seven catches and 129 yards in a divisional play. You just don't hear about that very much between two guys. I mean, one guy is going to have a monster game to that effect, but more of what impressed me was the timing of those catches. You can't say enough about Antonio Brown, which unfortunately, the way that I describe it is Antonio Brown caught the pass that Lima Sweet dropped in 2008 against the same opponent. On a third and 19, we're calling Antonio Brown now the 3-1-9. He somehow or other manages to get behind Ravens cornerback Ladarius Webb, catches a ball that he had kind of in between his chest and his chin, and it didn't float past him. He kept it pinned to his helmet. Instead of trying for the touchdown at that point, he wisely just goes out of bounds as opposed to taking a shot at the pylon, possibly fumbling the ball. Just a big heads-up play, obviously, on the route that he ran and his ability to get open like that. But even more, just to make sure that he had the ball and not take more than what was given him. Overall, were as key as they were. I mean, the Steelers' game plan clearly was to throw the ball deep against Baltimore. Mike Wallace was targeted seven times but only caught two passes. Overall in this game, and that opened the door for Manny Sanders, the third round pick. He was clutch in the second and third quarter. Roethlisberger was definitely looking his way a bunch, probably more so even than Hines Ward. In the end, Sanders ended up with four catches for 54 yards. One of those came on third and 11. It was a 14-yard completion. He had another 17-yard completion along with that, and he was able to draw an illegal contact penalty to extend a drive also in the first half.
It was something to see. I thought that what you had said to me after the game, we had a conversation, and you pointed out that here the Ravens go out and spend a whole ton of money on free agents T.J. Hushmanzada and Anquan Boldin, and they did what they did or did what they didn't do all season long, and young Antonio Brown, a sixth-round draft pick, gets behind your dime defense and lights you up with a 58-yard reception, one of the most dramatic catches I've seen in a long time. That was a real proud moment in Steeler history there. Let's move on and talk about defense for a little bit. Enough about offense. We're the Steelers. We talk D. Especially in the second half, let's talk about our defense, how they played, how they forced Joe Flacco into playing. Ravens were in control of that game for much of the first half. What happened and how did the D help turn things around?
Not only did the D talk in the second half, but they certainly walked, ran, and buried the Ravens for the entire 30 minutes that they had out there. Somebody got through to James Harrison in the second half. I mean, he was kind of quiet in a matchup that I thought going into the game that he was going to have his way with. The first series of the game, he made all three tackles on the Ravens three and out, including a sack of Joe Flacco. That was one of Harrison on the game. The last one probably stood out more than anything else to me anyway. Joe Flacco was on the move, and it appeared to me that he was so disoriented, so confused, and was just giving up on the game, that he Harrison was able to chase him out of bounds behind the line of scrimmage, and that's an absolute no-no for a quarterback. That's an offense that would have Mike Ditka in his face faster than a Willie Parker 75-yard touchdown run. That's just something you don't ever do, preseason, postseason, wherever. So Harrison definitely got inside of his head. He had an absolute monster game, maybe just one quarter of a step below Ryan Clark.
They, I think, all played pretty well, with maybe the exception of Troy. I look forward to him stepping it up in the AFC Championship game. In any event, nice job, D. Not only, I think, did our D play really, really well, but I mean, the whole team did. But let's talk about coaching for a little bit. I was absolutely awestruck and dumbfounded and, I guess you could say, elated. Fourth and one on the Ravens' 11-yard line. The score tied 21-all late in the third quarter. And we're lining up to go for it. We're not going to take a field goal. We're going for it on fourth and one. How gutsy of a play call was that? What do you think about Mike Tomlin and his go-for-the-throat kind of attitude? It's nice to see from a Steelers coach, in my opinion. What do you think?
What I like about Tomlin is he's a coach who knows how to balance playing by the statistics and playing by the heart. And in that situation, I think that his team was moving the ball. Obviously, it's never easy to run against a Ravens team, but they had converted a few other third and ones, a few other goal line runs earlier in the game. He felt that he had an advantage. To be honest with you, though, Adam, watching it, I'm not 100% positive they were really set to run a play there. I think they lined it up with the idea in mind that if Roethlisberger had a lane that he could go in, if he was an opening that he could get, he was going to take it. Otherwise, they were going to call the timeout and they were going to kick the field goal. But, you know, telling Roethlisberger to go under center and not run a play is kind of like telling a Jets player to think before he speaks. You know it's not going to happen.
Well, I don't know. I was certainly I couldn't figure out what they were trying to do. I mean, it seemed to me like, you know, your immediate reaction was, well, there's no way they're going to go for this here. He just wants to line them up and try to draw them off sides, perhaps. But that didn't happen. He tried two or three times with a hard count. The Ravens' defensive line didn't move. Then all of a sudden, boom, he's sneaking for a yard. I was flabbergasted. I am really happy that it turned out the way it did, but I just think that it was an amazing, gutsy call on the part of Tomlin, Roethlisberger, whoever else was involved, to go for that in a tight divisional playoff game. I can't say enough about that. I think that's great. All right, you mentioned Ladarius Webb earlier. Let's get back to Ladarius Webb for a moment and discuss briefly what I keep seeing on TV anyway is the replay of the punt return in the fourth quarter, about 6 minutes left. Ladarius Webb fields the kick on about the 50-yard line, right about midfield, score 24-21 Steelers. He takes it into the end zone for an apparent touchdown, but it's negated by a holding call that seems to be seen by most in the media as one of those ticky-tacky things that people think provide evidence that the league is fixed, that the ref wants to make sure the Steelers have help winning games, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, was this the right call?
I don't see how anybody could look at that and not think that it was. I mean, just because a touchdown occurred on the play did not mean that it was done of the game. I'm also not going to be somebody that says there isn't a hold on every single play. But the fact is, you've got an isolated block on the Steelers' last-ditch effort to get to him. Will Allen is breaking off of the blocker. Marcus Smith was his name. And he has the chance to be able to make he's going to be able to beat Webb to the corner and be able to take him down, and he's not, because Smith clearly grabs onto his jersey. Can we do this again?
No.
Smith clearly grabs onto his jersey, and Allen can't move. I mean, it was plain and obvious. The ref was right there. There's only two people there. There's no confusion about it. They really don't have anything to complain about. They're going to call that 10 times out of 10. If they want to make that the game, that's fine. If they don't have another Jets-Patriots highlight to talk about and they want to talk about this one, that's fine. You know, the fact of the matter is, the team that outplayed the other team won the game, and it was not because of a hold that incidentally put him at the 19-yard line instead of put him in the end zone.
Yeah, I think that's the important thing to bring up in that, you know, three plays later, they threw on third down to the goal line a play very reminiscent of the Santonio Holmes catch against the Ravens in 2008. Bolden lets the ball hit his chest, and it drops incomplete. So you had your shot, Baltimore. You came away with 3 points instead of seven, but you had your shot. You know, you can scream all you want about some holding call that was or wasn't a holding call, but you had a shot at the end zone, and your guy dropped the ball. So, you know, enough said about that. I, for one, and maybe I'm overly sensitive to this kind of thing, but it seems to me that there's just a lot of people on the internet, and yes, never read anything on the internet, but there's a lot of people who just hate the Steelers, and you know, I think that comes down to jealousy, but I'm sick and tired of reading about apologists for every team that plays the Steelers, and accusations about referees being paid off, etc., etc. So anytime something like this happens, it kind of gets my hackles up a little bit, but moving on, we are through to the AFC Championship game. This is certainly not something that a lot of people would have picked, given the state of the team at the beginning of the season. And this particular matchup is not necessarily something we would have picked either, with the quote-unquote invincible New England Patriots looming on the horizon. Everyone, I think, was looking past the New York Jets. Now, all of a sudden, Steelers-Jets in the AFC Championship game. The Jets obviously beat us last time, but we didn't have Troy or Heath in that game. And I know that you play with the team you bring and blah, 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 but I think it's going to be a really, really good game. I'm excited about it. Both teams are pretty good. I do think we're a little bit better. We're playing at home. We're going to be full strength. Aaron Smith might even be back for a few reps, and I'm really looking forward to it. Neil, quickly, what are your thoughts and predictions?
I think what you have are two great teams that played a great game already once this season. That game easily could have gone either way. There are no complaints, no officiating conspiracies from what I know of it. But I'm really looking forward to it. I really like the way both of these teams match up. I thought it was a great classic football game last time, and it's only going to be even better here. I'm going to have my typical pregame zone blitz column up on Behind the Steel Curtain Saturday morning, and my matchup picks on SteelCityInsider.com will be up probably by that afternoon, so you can read all about it then.
I look forward to doing that. We might also get a podcast or two in the day of the game, so look out for those. Okay, it's time for trivia. We did this last week. For those of you who tuned in, once again, we've got trivia for you from the Steeler Fans of Minnesota website, which is sfominn.com. Everyone can go there and view the question on the website and submit an answer. Correct answers go into a drawing for cool prizes at McGovern's Irish Pub, home of the Steeler Fans of Minnesota. In any event, Neil, this is time to test your Steeler knowledge. I'm going to ask you the question. You get a minute to think about it, and then you have to answer it. Then we'll even give out the answer. So right or wrong, you're going to hear the right answer today. And those of you listening can take that information, bring it to McGovern's, and submit it into the drawing for some cool stuff. So are you ready for today's trivia, Neil?
Let's do it.
Here we go. As a result of their game day performance in the last Steelers-Jets playoff game, someone on the losing team lost their job. Who was it and why?
I'm fairly certain I know who it is. I remember exactly where I was watching the game, watching this guy basically blow it. Plain and simple, we should have lost that game. That guy beat us twice. It was Doug Bryan, the kicker, because he missed two field goals, one at the end of regulation and one in overtime.
You are like 99.8% right on this. It was Doug Bryan, definitely Jets kicker. He missed two potential game-winning field goals in regulation.
Okay.
And then Skippy kicked the game winner in overtime.
Of course he did.
Yep, so there you go. Doug Bryan, Jets kicker, is your answer because he sucked it up on two completely makeable game-winning field goals, I seem to remember. So thank you, Jets. Too bad Doug Bryan is no longer on the roster, but that Nick Folk guy doesn't look much better. So on that note, We're out of time, and we're going to sign off. We'd like to thank all of you for listening, and I'd like to give special thanks, as always, to Mayor Paul and Glenn Leonberger of the Steeler Fans of Minnesota for helping get the word out there. Thank you all for listening. We will see you at McGovern's for the Steelers-Jets AFC Championship game. I'm Adam.
And I'm Neil.
Go Steelers.